It's The Current's Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today is Wednesday, February 6th. I'm Jay Gabler. Later on in the episode, we're going to be talking about a story you might have seen floating around on the internet, and by floating around, I mean posted on CNN, regarding questions around the death of James Brown and possible foul play leading to it. Dig into that a little bit later, but first, a few more of today's headlines. Congratulations to pop star Pink, who was honored Tuesday with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
On behalf of the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce, we now declare today Pink Day in Hollywood. Woo!
At the ceremony, she spoke about the obstacles she's overcome, saying, quote, "I have achieved exactly what I wanted to achieve, because I always knew what my strong points were. I don't sell sex, I don't sell perfume, I'm not the prettiest, I'm not the best. I wanted to be a touring artist, and I wanted to be great at what I did. And at almost 40 years old, I can say, I'm great at what I do." No argument here. Some of Cher's stage costumes are headed to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, where they'll be part of a new exhibit called Camp, Notes on Fashion. That's according to Bob Mackey, the designer responsible for some of Cher's most infamous outfits, including her huge-haired harness outfit for the 1986 Academy Awards and that butt-bearing bodysuit she wore while straddling a cannon in the video for If I Could Turn Back Time. The Met exhibit opens this coming May. Lyricist Jacqueline Steiner has died at age 94. She's best known for a 1949 song she wrote with Bess Lomax Hawes, originally as a jingle for a mayoral candidate in Boston. The song is called MTA, after Boston's mass transit system, and it's all about a poor schmuck named Charlie who just can't get off the train. Why can't he get off the train? Because of a then-recent fare increase. You paid a dime to get on the subway in Boston, but if you transferred to an above-ground train, you'd have to pay an extra nickel to get off. If you didn't have that nickel, well, you just might end up like poor Charlie. 10 years later, MTA was recorded by the folk revival group The Kingston Trio, who made it the opening track on their chart-topping album, At Large.
Well, let me tell you of the story.
Steiner's creation gained further immortality in 2004 when the Boston Transit System introduced a card you could use to store value to pay your fares. What did they call it? The Charlie Card, of course.
Well, did he ever return? No, he never returned. He is still on the left world, Charlie. He may ride for land beneath the streets of Boston. He's a man.
Was James Brown murdered? A new three-part CNN investigation is raising new questions about the Godfather of Soul's 2006 death. Brown was 73 at the time of his death, which was due to congestive heart failure due to complications from pneumonia, but there was never an autopsy on his body. CNN says their reporter Thomas Lake traveled to 9 states and interviewed well over 100 people for the long story, which started when a former Brown associate reached out with copious documentation that opened a host of questions about the life and death of both Brown and his ex-wife Adrian, who died in 1996. According to the CNN report, over 10 people who knew Brown are calling for further investigation, but Brown knew a lot of people. The CNN report details a vast web of connections and suspicions dating back over 3 decades, all complicated by the fact that its main source, Jacqueline Hollander, says she collected all her documentation because she felt she was, quote, up against Brown, who she says raped her in 1988, and who she describes as running an empire of, quote, mob, control, fear, intimidation, lies.
Look at the power of his name. He might as well be alive.
It's a lot. It's never been a secret that James Brown lived a complicated and controversial life, which involved numerous brushes with the law.
Mr. Brown was a very complicated man, but Aristotle and Socrates were all complicated men, too.
People are taking this story seriously because, first of all, CNN is not known for tabloid journalism. And secondly, it's pretty plausible that there are some very seedy secrets lurking in James Brown's past. Whether this ends up leading to further revelations or just fueling conspiracy theories, you'll probably be hearing more about it. A future documentary series seems likely because we're living in America. Five musicians are leading a class action lawsuit against Sony and Universal, claiming that the labels are disregarding a provision of the Copyright Act of 1976 that allows artists to take control of their own recording copyrights after 35 years. The artists filing the suit are John Waite of Bad English, Southside Johnny, Paul Collins of The Nerves, Joe Ely, and David Johansen of the New York Dolls, aka Buster Poindexter. The plaintiffs say they've sent notices of copyright termination to the labels, which have, quote, routinely and systematically refused to honor them. Their attorney says, quote, the legal issues in these class action suits have never been decided by a court and are of paramount importance to the music industry. That seems right, since there's both a lot of money at stake and the right to control songs' placement in ads, TV shows, and compilations. If the suit succeeds, the New York Dolls won't have to split personality crisis with their label. The numbers are in, and unsurprisingly, a lot of songs saw sales increases from their placement in Super Bowl ads. Digital downloads soared for songs like Stand Up by Ludacris, Blown in the Wind by Bob Dylan, and Spirit in the Sky by Norman Greenbaum. The biggest winner? She Drives Me Crazy, a 1988 number one hit by Fine Young Cannibals that was featured in an ad for T-Mobile. The song saw a 2,235% jump in sales after the Super Bowl. Fun fact, it was recorded at Prince's Paisley Park studio in beautiful Chanhassen, Minnesota. And that's today's music news. You can read more about all those stories over at thecurrent.org. I'm Jay Gabler. Our producer for today is Luke Taylor. Tomorrow, Jay and I are going to be rounding up the week's biggest new releases, and you can join in on Twitter to let us know what you hope we talk about. Follow at The Current on Twitter, and we're going to be polling our followers this afternoon.